But Father, I do thank you for all those that came into the house this morning. And I also thank you, Father God, for just what everything you've done for us. And this day is special to you, Father God, because your people come into your house and they laugh and they rejoice and they have a good time no matter what's going on in their lives. So, Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I just ask you to just look down upon them. Have your perfect way, Father. Father, I thank you and I praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. God wants me to teach on everlasting joy. So, Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy. That's the missing ingredient in the house of God. This morning I really want you to get joy deep down inside. And you know, you guys that were at every day of the revival, you know that God prophesied every revival. So I said to him yesterday, I said, Well, God, started Friday night, I said, what do you want me to do for Sunday? And I waited and waited, and he didn't do anything. Well, he said everlasting joy. So I said, that's okay, he's going to prophesy everlasting joy. Well, I sat there and sat there, you know, and then I got worked around. I said, God, I need a word. He said, well, sit down and get one. So I had to put this together myself. But he did give me a beautiful prophetic teaching for tonight. But this is good too. But he said, you just put together yourself. That's why I have two. I started one and decided to do it some other way. So anyhow, this is good. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow. And the body of Christ has to quit sorrowing. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. The people had the opportunity to be very sad and not joyful, but because God told them that they should have joy, they listened to God and they had joy. I hope that you listen to God this morning and that you receive joy. God impressed upon me about the hats, and somebody said, you got to look at us with all these hats on. Well, you know what is bringing me joy? Some of you don't have hats on. That's not bringing me any joy. Because you were supposed to participate. You were supposed to participate and wear your hat. Amen. Now, if you were in a bar or something, you'd have a hat on and probably have reindeer antlers with stuff hanging off up and everything else. So why not in the house of God? You know? I really just wanted to see if you really would put them on. But you really do look neat. You look neat. I was glad Teresa Ann took some pictures. We'll put them in the Delaware State News or something, all right? No, we won't do that. You know, I was talking to Brother Allen, and I said, you know, I just feel like with everything God did during the revival that all we have to do is breathe and we'll be in the heavenly places. And so, I put down here, joy is just a breath away. All you have to do is breathe, and the joy of the Lord can just come bubbling up out of inside of you. It's there, but you have to bring it forth. You can't stifle it. You have to bring it forth. God has spoken and said, if my people would only breathe in my joy, the enemy would never be able to touch them ever again. So after I wrote that, he said that. So he said, if my people would only breathe in my joy, the enemy would never be able to touch them ever again. It is his joy that keeps his people going. It is his joy that gives them breath. It is his joy that far supersedes all others. It is his joy that is going to see all his people through these troubling times that loom ahead. We are headed into some really bad territory. But God has promised that we wouldn't be touched if we stayed close to him and believed him. You're not going to be touched if you keep your joy. We cannot lose our joy because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that's the reason why so many are being defeated, because they do not have the joy of the Lord. Or if they do have it, they just leave it down in, and they never bring it forth. Because of the darkness in this world, the joy of the Lord is your strength. We must proclaim this to all we meet. We must proclaim it from the mountaintops. God is saying that his people must enter into the joy of the Lord if they are to overcome the hour of great darkness. What kind of a witness, I want you to think about this, what kind of a witness have you been? Have you been, you know, for Christ? Have you been a witness for Christ where people see joy in your face, or they look at you and they see gloom, doom, and despair? Do they see the joy of the Lord in your face, or do they see your problems that are weighing you down? Think about this. And you say, well, I'm a child of God, and they see you walking around with a pruned face. They don't want to be a child of God. Because if this is what your God is doing for you, then they don't want that. They already have that in the world. If you look at some Christians, you can just see where they're at just by looking at their faces. You know, they wear their self on their face. And some of you, I wouldn't go out and say, I'm a child of God. Till I looked in the mirror and got my face right. Amen. In Nehemiah chapter 8, God spoke and said that the enemy came and stole all their joy. All their joy. He came and stole all that God has given them. But this is a day and this is the hour for his people to rise up and count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. I want to really drive that into you, because when God told me, you know, Brother Aaron, he does the praise and worship, but he sent me the praise and worship. I said, this is not going to do, Aaron. And because God said he wanted a joyful praise and worship. So I sat and put one together, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, because like Gabriel said, where'd you find some of those songs? That had to really look hard. But if we, you know, if we come in here, you know, it's nice to sing songs where we're really praising and worshiping the Lord. But after a while, that grows old, because your spirit man is not uplifted, because, you know, you're just mouthing things out. But whenever you sing songs like we did today, it comes from deep down inside, and your face starts smiling and your spirit man is fed. All right. Now, I said that because of what God's going to say to you tonight in the Word. He's saying that the praise and worship in the house of God is going to be different. Okay, so don't think I'm going off on a tangent, because I'm not. It's not going to be the same as it used to be. Psalm 34:19, our Father is saying, true, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I deliver them out of them all. Who delivers you out of all your problems? God. You don't. And the reason why you're not delivered out of them all is because you're not trusting God to deliver you out of them all. All right? Now, you know we're getting ready to go into some sort of recession. And if you can't have joy now, what are you going to do when those days come? If you're saying, oh, woe is me now, what are you going to say when the darkness really does hit? And this is what God is trying to get through to the body of Christ. He wants you to get, and he's been working on us for quite a while about the joy, hasn't he? And he wants us to get the joy now, so it's deep rooted in us and the enemy will not be able to steal it. Some of you have to get out of your religion and get in the spirit. See, the old religious attitude, like I had when I first started, was God is very somber, and he's really, you know, he will chastise you, and you really just sit real still and you don't move. Well, that's not the God that really sits in heavenly places. He's an excitable God. And he loves joy. He loves dancing. I said today, God, I just have somebody get up and dance. But nobody did. But I'm waiting for that day when people run and dance through the house once again. All right, I saw our Father saying in Psalm 34:19, true, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I deliver them out of them all. If this is true, then God's joy should be forever on our heart, on your hearts, and then proceed out onto your lips, and then spread throughout the land. Somebody in your home has to spread joy. Somebody in your workplace has to spread joy. Somebody in the house of God has to spread joy, because not everybody is joyful. There is more gloom and doom and despair than there is good. Don't we all know that? Somebody has to be a joy carrier. Remember when revival, we used to have revival all the time, how people would come to the house of God and get the laughing on them? And just laugh and laugh and laugh. We need that again. We need that deep belly laugh that just really cleanses us and gets us free from those prison cells that we've been in. Amen. I always think about Rodney Howard Brown. You know, he just stands in front of people and they just start laughing. And that's just an anointing that's upon that man. And Kenneth Hagin Sr. used to do that also. He'd just stand there and just look at you and laugh at you. And next thing you know, everybody be out in the spirit. See, both of those had the joy of the Lord deep down inside, and that's they carry that anointing. So why don't one of you in here carry that anointing of joy and start using it? Start allowing it to bubble up inside of you. Are you listening here? I want to see more joy in the house of the Lord. If you're a Christian, in your workplace, out on the streets, I want to see more joy. I see enough of people being depressed. I think we need to start being children of God that lead other people out of depression into the joy of the Lord. All right? John 17:13, Jesus' joy is in them. But now I come to you, Jesus said, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He said, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, why? That they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. You know, in your marriage, if you just quit trying to be somebody that's always wanting to be right, and just get the joy of the Lord and spread it through your home, your children would behave better, right? Your wife or your husband would love you more, would be different. People come into your house would see the joy, and they would want what you have. A lot of people don't want what the house of God has. You know, because they don't see joy. They don't see pleasure. They just don't see you being happy. And we need to start doing that. Turn that thing around. Everything that we go through should be counted as joy. Isn't that what the word keeps telling us over and over and over again? Question, didn't Paul and Silas count it all joy? In James 1:2-4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work. Why? That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And I know the body of Christ does not do that. The minute a test comes your way, you just get all upset. Get all blown out of shape. Why is God allowing me to go through this? Blah, 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 we go. Count it all joy. I'm going to tell you, saints, I've been down the road long enough to tell you that whatever you go through is for a purpose. And it's better that you count it all joy and go through it with a happy face, then go through it with a sad face and receive nothing from God. Every one of us, if you're a true child of God, you're going to be tested and tried. You're going to be put through the furnace of affliction. Things are going to come your way. You can't figure out why they're coming your way, because after all, God, I've served you faithfully all my life, and why am I going through this? Test after test after test. And how are you? Are you passing your test with joy or just passing? See, there's a difference. You have to pass them with just pass them or pass them with joy. And we need to pass them with more joy. You know, like let's talk about Mark out on the streets. If Mark and Elaine and whoever else goes with him went up there with a sad countenance, those people wouldn't be looking for you each week. If you weren't up there laughing and talking and having a good time with them and showing them the joy of the Lord, they wouldn't even come out. They wouldn't care if you had food or not. They already have a bunch of mess. They don't need more mess. They need to see Christ. And Jesus is happy. And he wants his children happy. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse circumstances. Count it all joy when the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We have a hard time with that one, don't we? because it is then that the joy kicks in and you kick the adversary out of your life forever. I want you today, I want you to really just sit and contemplate on what you've done in the past. I just really want you to think about it. When your tests and trials came, how did you react? I've done this. Some things I wish I'd have done so much differently, because I could have made my life better if I would have just done them differently. But because I didn't go through that trial with joy, it really messed me up. I want you to really be honest with yourself. And I went before God, as God, I really repent. I can't go back and change that. But I can change what I do from this day forward. I'm asking you this morning to do something you probably think you can't do, and that is, no matter what comes your day from this day, what comes your way from this day forward, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Amen. Come on. Joy, 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 unspeakable and full of glory. God's church must be full of joy unspeakable if it is to overcome in these last days. And God kept empathizing with me as joy unspeakable. John 16:24 says, ask so our joy will be full. We have to ask God so our joy will be full. And Jesus said, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. Why? That your joy may be full. And this is the reason why some of you can't be happy, is because you don't ask God. You whine about things and you cry about things, but you never go to him in the right attitude and ask. And so you don't receive, and then all you do is fuss with God. We've all done that. Everybody in this room has done that. But we can't do it no more, because if we don't have joy, God's been telling me, we're not going to be able to stand in the days that are coming upon us. We won't be able to stand. How are you standing today? Are you standing with joy? I forgot what I was doing yesterday, but God said to me, daughter, I can withdraw my grace at any given time from you. I said, well, that's eye-opening. He said, people think that my grace will always be there, but that's not so. He said, I would give everybody so much space, and then I will withdraw my grace. And he said, if my people don't come into joy, I will not be able to use them in this dispensation of time. You wonder why your kids are going through what they're going through and doing what they're doing. What do you portray to them? Do you portray joy? Do you portray happiness? Or are you always walking around being mean and cruel? Think about that. You are making your children what they are, and then you're complaining about them. You know, what God told me one time, what us older people forget is we were young one time too, and that we made mistakes too. And if you ever notice, how come is a kid can spill a glass of milk and, you know, boom, you go through the wall. But you spill a glass of milk, you say, isn't that a mess? And you clean it up. And nobody fusses at you about it, do they? You just clean it up, but let a kid do it. Look how clumsy and sloppy you are, and blah, 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 blah. You go on and on and on, but let a grown-up do it. I watched that, and I said that to a grown-up. I said, how come it is you can do that, or even if I do that, oh, well, here, I'll help you clean that up. But let one of the kids do it, and you go out of space. I want you to think about this, because that's how it works. We need to quit doing that to our children. And if we really have the joy of the Lord deep down inside of us, we won't react that way with our kids. We'll treat them like we would want them to treat us. Amen. Like little Isaiah wouldn't listen to me this morning. I said, I'm upset with you. And he looked at me and said, well, I'm upset with you too, and don't talk to me like that ever again. You know, he's. So he got in the car, he was going down the road, and I said, how are you? I said, he said, fine. I said, well, honey, I'm not mad at you anymore. And he didn't answer me. I said, I'm not mad at you anymore. He said, fine. And then when we got out of the car, he said, I'm not mad at you anymore either. But, you know, it's just the way we do, isn't it? Then we wonder why our kids react the way they react. check yourself out and see what you're doing. It's a shame what people, what grown-ups are doing with children. You, did you know that your child is a God's child and he just gave it, lent it to you to raise up in his ways? And one day when you stand before him, he's going to ask you how you raised that child. You're going to be judged how you raised that child. God told me, show me that one time, because I was dealing with a family that had a lot of children and they were really treating them bad. And he said, this is what's going to happen. That family started treating their children differently. And those kids then changed. Amen. Matthew 25:21. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. If we will do the small things that God is calling us for to do, that pleases God. But there's too many people in the house of God, they don't want to do the small things. They don't want to do the first little tiny thing, like, let's just say, shampooing the church floor. They want to be the president of the church. And that doesn't please God. That just does not please God. You don't start at the top. You start at the bottom and work your way up with God. Amen. Why do you think God is causing the stirring in our hearts to sing the joyful songs? Why do you think he's doing that? God wants his people full of his joy, that's why. And he wants his people to be overcomers in this end time hour. There's a whole lot stirring in the atmosphere, guys. A whole lot. If you're really walking in the Spirit, you can feel it. And sometimes it just about absorbs you, doesn't it? Because it's not good. And you know, if we can stay in the joy of the Lord, that atmosphere is not going to affect us. You won't even have to work at it not affecting you. Because that joy will just dissolve all that stuff in the atmosphere. And you're going to be able to walk free. And you won't be encumbered with the cares and the burdens of this world. I really want you to get this joy down in your spirit this morning. Defeat is not in God's category. Defeat is not a word that God proclaimed. Defeat is of the enemy. So many sit in the house of God totally defeated. If you work, don't you see defeated people in your workplace? Mark, you work at the college. It's a mess, isn't it? I know when I worked at the college, it was a mess. People come in and are defeated all the time. And somebody in that college has to have joy. Somebody in there, you have to have the glory upon you that people are drawn to you and they just want to be around you because they feel that the joy in you and they need that joy. They need to be fed. Their spirit man is dying and there's nobody to feed that spirit man. Why not you? Barbara, when you go into a house to sell it, you should take the joy with you in that house and whoever buys it will set it, will live in joy. All right, we need to start, I'm hearing God say, we need to start depositing joy wherever we go. Wherever we go. Don't talk about negative things all the time. That will not build you up, that will tear you down. All right? All God ever proclaimed was victory in all signs. We were talking about defeat. God never is defeated. He always has us a walk in victory. In Psalm 51:12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit. And this was David. He just going through a big mess. And he cried out to God, restore to me the joy of your salvation. How many, you know, that's why God says, return to your first love, you know, because we get all excited. We get saved. We're full of joy. We just bubble over. We tell everybody about God. But as the devil keeps coming at us and wearing us down, after a bit, we don't tell anybody about anything. And this is when God said you have to return to your first love. We have to get that. Be like David. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. David had sinned against God and he repented and then he wanted God to restore his joy. Maybe some of you have sinned against God and you haven't repented and therefore your joy hasn't been restored. Just maybe you have to go to God and repent and ask him to restore the joy of the Lord. God tells us in his word too, in Isaiah 41:1, keep silence before me, O coastlands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near. Let them speak. Let us come near together for judgment. We need to tell the enemy, shut up. we need to tell the enemy, get out of here. I am God's child, and you are not going to steal my joy any longer. And he definitely is a joy stealer. He steals, and he steals, and he steals, and he steals, if you allow him to. He can come. He'll come at you on all sides, but you don't have to receive what he brings to you. Somebody's telling me, you're so stupid, you don't even know to be unhappy. I said, well, you're so stupid, you don't need to be happy. You don't know how to be happy. Amen. Just because life is not going right does not mean we can't be happy. All right? And we just really, if we don't get it together, how's the world going to get it together? If you don't get it together, you sure can't minister to the harvest of God that's in the house of God. Somebody's baby's up there crying. Well, somebody check on that, please. Isaiah 41:1 says, we read that, didn't we? Cross-references Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God wants to take your sins and wash them away. He does not want you to carry your sins. Because if you carry your sins, you're never going to be full of joy. Because the enemy's always going to bring those sins before your eyes. And you won't be able to be joyful. Isaiah 43:26 says, put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. God wants you to come to him and tell him what you've done wrong, even though he knows it. And then he'll acquit you. He'll forgive you and things will move on. And Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, quit thinking about your food and what you drink and what you eat and all that stuff, but think about the joy of the Lord is your strength. When I used to have people fast, I used to laugh because they were so unhappy they couldn't eat. Right? Well, can I grind it up, right? Can I put it in a blender and drink it? You know, and so I was teaching them about fasting, and I never even had people fasting, and I've never seen so many people so gloom, doom, and despair because they couldn't eat something. But we're all like that. You want me to give up what? My Twinkie? Can't I just have one little tiny hamburger? I can only drink water. See this? God wants us to have the joy of the Lord whenever we're fasting too. Well, say so you shouldn't go around with a sad countenance when you're fasting. So you should go around with the joy of the Lord. I don't care what your belly's saying. How it grumbles and grows and groans and goes on. If we would get that down, we would have the joy of the Lord, because that's the biggest thing to defeat. Is eating. I know some people think it's cigarettes, some people think it's alcohol, but really eating is the biggest thing to defeat, because that's a habit we have. We always think we have to eat something. Doesn't matter what it is, we have to eat it, but we really don't, because God will keep us. One time I was fasting, and I fasted 40 days, and then I drank juice for one day, and then I went on a 40-day fast to start on another 40-day fast, and I went home to see my mother in the meantime. But we had stopped somewhere, I ate that one day. That's what it was. I just got a 40-day fast. I'll tell you the wrong story. And so we went in one of those places where, you know, fix your own salad. Well, I ate the eggs on there. Got sick as a dog. And my mother made me go to the hospital, and I went, and he said, you don't have any idea what this is all about. My mother said, she's fasting. The doctor said, get her dressed and get her out of here. He did not believe in fasting. He said, if she wants to starve herself, that's her problem, not ours. You're just wasting my time. But I just had food poisoning. But see, that's just how people think about fasting. They shouldn't even do it. But now if you're reading what they're saying, even doctors saying you should fast just to cleanse your bodies. So you see, if we just stay with God, just keep doing what God's asked us to do, the world will catch up with us, and they'll start believing and listening, all right? So keep your joy, and keep going, doing things God will have you do, because you're a forerunner, you're paving the way for others, And pretty soon they'll say, hey, you know, this was the right thing to do. And then they'll start following you. But you don't get upset with them. You don't get grieved in spirit. You keep the joy of the Lord deep down inside of you. Romans 15:13 says, now may the good God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now may the Lord God of hope fill you with all joy, so that you can be abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have joy, you're not going to have any hope. You're not going to be able to stay steadfast. Because, you know, when you're walking around complaining and moaning and groaning, you can't have joy and you won't be steadfast. I think that you guys, when you go out in the streets, you should take some sort of tambourines or something and really just make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And take a couple tambourines, you know, and just let them play them and just have a good time. What they call it, Hallelujah Square. You know, you just get the people start gathering around wondering, what are they doing? And then, you know, they might just join in and just start singing and rejoicing and forget, because they have a lot of things in their mind. But they need to forget maybe for 1 hour that life is real, that life is bad, but life is real. All right. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It says here that Jesus went to the cross with joy. We're supposed to pick up our cross daily with joy. Oh, God, another day. That's not joy. We're supposed to get out of bed with joy. Amen. As we stand in the presence of God's glory and become consumed by his glory, we will get a taste of the joy that is in true life. It's as we stand in the presence of God's glory and become consumed by his glory, we will get a taste of the joy that is in true life. In other words, when the glory hits us, we're going to be consumed by that glory, and then the true joy is going to be there, and the devil's never going to be able to take it away. This joy is your strength. For those who follow God, this joy will not only be theirs forever, it will grow forever. Your joy will stay there forever, and it will grow. You'll be more joyful, and the people are going to look at you and think you've just lost your mind. And you can say, yes, I have. I've lost my mind for Christ. And you might not think that I should be joyful, but I am joyful because I belong to God. Just like Paul and Silas. I know them guards must have thought they were totally insane, sitting there, you know, chained and being beat, and they were still singing praises to the Father. How many of you, do you ever picture, you know, when I read the Bible, I picture myself in that situation. How would I act? And could I really and truly be singing praises to God as they were beating me on the back and then pouring salt in those wounds? Could I really keep on rejoicing in the Lord? See, you have to really put yourself there. And then if you can't do that, then you have to make yourself do that. In other words, you have to keep telling yourself that the joy of the Lord is your strength and that you can go through anything that God puts you through. And endure. And this is why you can't win others to Christ. You don't endure because you don't want to suffer. John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus wants you to have the same joy that he has, not in measure, but in fullness. Totally and completely full of his joy. We must also remember that the joy of God's presence is the only thing we need to sustain us through what is coming upon the earth. Don't you really feel bad about the president right now? I pray every day for him to have the joy of the Lord so he can endure what he's going through. He's not the only president that ever had to endure this kind of stuff. And, you know, it's just this year that I've really realized how we need to pray for those in authority over us. We just listen to the news and say, that's terrible. But we need to pray for them and so that they can be joyful through everything they're going through. I'm going to ask you a question. How would you like to be thrown out there in the limelight and every time you even blinked your eyes in a different way, they wrote a big story in the newspaper about you? You know, and how would you like, you know, if you was the wife of the president and they criticize everything you wore, just the way you did your hair, the way your clothes you wore, the way you didn't speak the right words. Would you like that? If you wouldn't like that, then why not pray for them that the joy of the Lord will consume them and they'll overlook all this junk that's being done against them? The same way in the house of God. You don't want your brother and sister forevermore criticizing you, do you? Then just ask God to consume them with joy so they'll quit criticizing you. You don't want the people in your household to be always upset with you, do you? Then ask God to just consume them with your joy. God showed me this. He said, we don't pray properly. We fuss about the one in the household that's not right. And what we need to do is pray for their total and complete salvation and pray that his joy drops on them and they'll get out of this negative attitude they have all the time. And you know, when you have somebody negative in your home, it saturates your home. So if you pray for them instead of against them or complain against them, then God is going to reach down there and change them, and your atmosphere in your home is going to change, or even in your workplace. We are not doing this the way God wants us to do it. This morning, God is asking us to pick up his joy and stay close to the rock that the honey flows out of. And if we will do this, we will see many signs, wonders, and miracles pour out upon the land. All right? The only way you're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles if you have the joy of the Lord. All right. The rock is flowing with milk and honey this morning. We are to take one day at a time, but take each day full of the joy of the Lord, which gives us our strength. We are too busy trying to work 10 months down the road. God said we need to take one day at a time. Live in that day, and he will take care of the next day. So you in here, you're trying to live a month down the road, quit, and just live for the day you're living in, knowing that God is able to take care of you today, tomorrow, and the other tomorrows. And as you live in that day with joy. Don't be concerned about what the devil's going to do to you. You be concerned about what God is doing for you in his kingdom. And then, and only then, will you have the joy of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 1:6 says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. You're talking to the church people there. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. In other words, they were really going under a lot of things, but you did it with joy, the joy of the Holy Spirit. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have joy. I've got to tell you that right now. It's the Holy Spirit that brings that joy and that laughter. So you have to have the Holy Spirit in order to walk in this joy. We could look at it like this. Joy is in the deepest part of the person who has accepted Jesus as a Savior. Joy is in his spirit. Joy is in your spirit, man. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you're not going to get the fullness of the joy. You're not even going to get joy. But if you have the Holy Spirit, then you should be walking in joy. You should be laughing in joy. People, when you walk through, I love when Elaine walks through the door. She just brings the light and everything else through the door, you know, because I see her back there, because I'm back there just meditating in that office. And I just love, you know, she just brightens up the whole room. Some of you other people do too. And I wished everybody in the body of Christ would do that. If everybody in the body of Christ would do that, do you know what we'd have? We would have heaven on earth. And people would want what we had, right? This morning, God wants to impart the joy of the Lord back to his people in such a way that it will never leave. See, you had it and you lost it. You allowed circumstances to take it away from you. And God showed me that if he doesn't impart this joy back into you, you're going to be defeated. So this is what God wants to do to you this morning. He wants to impart joy, a joy that the enemy will not ever be able to touch, back into you so you can go forth and do the mighty works that he's calling you forth to do. He wants you to spread that joy. He just showed me right now, you're sitting in your car, you know, and you're going driving down the street. And because you have so much joy, it's going to overflow into the person next to you in their car. You're not even going to have to touch him or say anything. The joy in you is just going to overflow. And I could see that in the spirit realm. So how many of you want to have an overflow of joy? You know, where that joy is just going to overflow into the person that you walk by.